Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
From Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 14th, 2010, episode 32, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Jamie. Well, hello, everybody. Good morning. It's how many days till Christmas now? Shopping days left?
Ten more.
10 more shopping days left till Christmas. Well, I thought we'd add a little holiday Christmas here. You know, I hate it when they play Christmas music at the beginning of November. So if anybody noticed, we've been kind of holding off, with the exception of Templeton Thompson's Ye Holidays. We've been holding off on Christmas music, but I guess I have to now. We're like really close.
It's pretty darn close, but you know what drives me crazy is that, when they start selling Christmas decorations before Halloween, really? I mean, what happened to Halloween? Let's not get rid of that holiday, but yeah, you go into, you know, Lowe's or whatever, and you walk in, and there's always Christmas stuff before Halloween.
I know, exactly. Exactly. You're exactly right. Although Halloween has gotten so much bigger now. It never used to be as big as today, that's for sure. Halloween's like a major help.
I think it's fun.
So, Jamie, just a technical note here. We're in a different chat than you. We're in the one you originally started this morning. So.
Okay, good to know.
Well, today we have a birthday. I think it's Lita Kramer of Crossed Sabers Stable. I think she did that just to drive me nuts. Crossed Sabers Stable. It's her birthday today, so happy birthday, listener out there. There was an yesterday brought to my attention by a bunch of people. So the player on Facebook that we put up for yesterday's show was actually playing last Monday's show. So I discovered what the problem was, fixed it. However, because of the way Facebook works, it will not take the new show. So I had to take it down. There's no player up there for yesterday's show. If you didn't hear yesterday's show, just go to horsesinthemorning.com, and you'll find it on there. You can listen right at Horses in the Morning. So as of today, hey, we have it fixed, and it should be the correct one, and we apologize for that. What else? What are the other things? We always have new listeners, and we're getting a bunch of them every day. We gained a whole bunch of – we're up to 82 on our Facebook page. We're gaining about 100 a week. So I wanted to remind everybody that you can listen, and many people do now, we're finding out. Listen on their iPhone, and you can listen by going to horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I. That's M-O-B-I.
Yeah, I think that we got a phone call yesterday from a listener who was driving into work. So that was pretty cool to know they're listening in their car, listening on their phone in their car. So that was pretty cool. But, I wanted to let you know I just did something really stupid, and I'm really sad about this whole thing, Glenn and Jennifer. I was in my kitchen, and, the show's about to start. So I come running over and I grab a cup of coffee, and I have tile floors, and I grab a cup of coffee, and I'm like in a hurry to go back over here and sit down to get the show started, but I did not put the coffee pot directly back into the coffee pot holder thing, and moments ago, it went crashing down on the floor and shattered into a million pieces. And of course, now that we're doing the show, unfortunately, I have an entire pile of glass and coffee that is shattered over there on my floor that I covered quickly in paper towels, but I did not clean it up. So hopefully the dogs will avoid the whole area.
Anyway, don't let the dogs in the kitchen.
I know, right? Have you ever done something that stupid, Jennifer? Like, you know, you just in a hurry, like maybe one time you were filling up your truck, your diesel truck full of fuel, and you were on the cell phone, and maybe you put an entire thing of gasoline into your diesel truck. Have you ever done that?
Ooh, I've done that, but only a little bit. I did that one time, but I only put a little bit of the wrong stuff in there.
Okay, well, then I didn't do it, and it certainly didn't cost me $1,300 to get an entire new fuel system. So.
Oh, my gosh.
The point is, and by the way, I've never told anybody that story ever because it's one of those things you're just absolutely embarrassed about. So
oh,
it really didn't happen, I swear.
Okay. I know people who have done that, though.
Yeah, I know people too. Yeah, I know people. So those things that you just do where you're either not paying attention or you're in a hurry that just cause huge accidents, and if you would just take 5 seconds to, like, do something properly, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. But now I have to make a trip off the farm to go get a brand-new coffee pot. And I'm assuming that you can buy just the glass.
You can get the carafe.
Yeah,
because I've ruined a lot of carafes.
Yeah, we've broken a bunch of carafes.
We've
been there, done that. We feel for you, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks. There's one all over my floor. And now it really
needs
coffee.
I know. As soon as I go back on mute, I'm going to be laughing. But I feel for you on the air.
It's okay. You can laugh at me. I wouldn't have told you otherwise. Oh, boy.
Hey, speaking of fuel systems, I saw a story yesterday that they have announced the new truck or the 2011 Motor Trends Truck of the Year, which always leads to a conversation about, because horse people, you know, we like our trucks and we're always partial. You know, we're all of us have a truck brand or type or whatever that we're partial to. And, you know, we sometimes even have a make and model that we absolutely like. And especially horse people have their things. So, you know, and I think it, we'll talk about this, but I think it partly comes from your family, you know, what you grew up with. If your family hated Fords, you hate Fords. If your family loved Dodges, you love Dodges. So we'll talk about that. But drum roll, Jamie. Thank you.
That's bad.
That's our fancy high-tech sound effect system, Jamie. So the truck of the year kind of surprised me in a way, except I think there's a conspiracy here. It's the Chevrolet Silverado HD wins 2011 Motor Trends Truck of the Year. So a Chevy wins. And it was funny because I posted on Facebook, and somebody commented on it. I posted on Facebook this morning that we're going to be talking about your favorite truck of choice. Are you a Ford family, a Dodge family, or do you still drive a Chevy? And I got some comments from people that saying one texted me and said, "What do you mean? Do you still drive a Chevy?" Well, you know, Chevy seems so. Yes, we used to drive a Chevy. One of our first trucks we had at the farm, Jennifer, was a Chevy, right?
Yes, it was a beloved Chevy with a horse's butt print in the side.
Yes,
nice.
It was, and it was. Yeah, we were out delivering hay one day, and one of the horses just sat on the truck, just leaned right against it, and big old dent. And it had that dent for a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it leads to a conversation that I'd love to have callers call in today at 347-637-3238 is, what's your truck of choice? You know, Jennifer and I came from anti-Ford families, hated Fords and everything to do with them. So we never had Ford trucks. We started out with a Chevy, and then we switched to what we consider the ultimate truck was the Dodge Ram 2500 diesel. So that's what we switched to, and we've been Dodge fans ever since. And I really liked them after they went to the new, you know, cool, manly front ends and everything. So now, what's your truck of choice?
Oh, well, you know, growing up, my dad actually had a Ford. He had a really big, long Ford, and it was one of those where the panels on the side of the truck were different. So it was actually three shades of brown, like very unattractive, you know, 1980s truck, early 80s truck. But I have, and I was very specific when I went shopping for it, and granted, this was a while ago, but I have a 2001 Dodge Ram 2500 quad cab 5.9 liter turbo Cummins diesel.
Oh, yeah. You got the Cummins. Yes, Cummins diesel.
Well,
can you give
know,
us any more details? Or?
It's white. But it, actually, when I went shopping for the truck, I went with my dad because, you know, dads and daughters should go car shopping together. That's what you do. But I was buying this truck. It was my first, you know, real car purchase of my own. Granted, I still have it. But I went shopping, and I told the guy, you know, exactly what I wanted. I told him exactly I wanted 2000, you know, I didn't say the year, but Dodge Ram 2500 quad cab turbo diesel. And he looks at me and he goes, is that a Nissan dealership or one of those? And he goes, oh, honey, no. We'll have to get you a nice little Tacoma or something. I was like, what? I want my big truck. I got to pull horses. And so I left there. And then we go to another dealership, and I tell him I want a Dodge Ram 2500 quad cab turbo diesel. And he goes, turns to my dad and goes, okay, sir, well, let me take you out on the lot and show you what we have. And my dad was like, this is for her.
And so just lost that sale.
Yeah, I stormed out of that dealership. So as a woman, it is hard to go buy a big pickup truck and not, you know, try to be downgraded or talked down to or to pretend that, you know, it's going to the guy. So
that
anyway, I
even,
finally.
Even at car what? Dealerships, that happens. Yeah.
Oh, I know. And it's like the smart guys talk to the women. Because
yeah.
The women are the one who get to pick it out for the most part. So, yeah, I ended up finding, like, a used truck place and went to it, and they were like, how you doing? Okay, you want that truck? We got one, you know. I had to venture outside the city limits of Atlanta to find the truck that I wanted. but I love my Dodge, and the reason I got it was because, and now they don't use, I don't think, much of the Cummins engines anymore, but it's the million-mile engine, and I was so tired of counting
right.
miles. Oh, I don't want to go any miles. I don't want to go over the mileage.
And
but
you
now
know,
my truck has, like, 300,000 miles on it, and it's great.
Now, and the other thing they did with the new Cummins, with the new diesel engines, is they made them quieter. I don't want them quieter. I want it sounding like a damn truck.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you can hear me coming from 2 miles away. But that is the diesel thing. Just everybody keep in mind that maybe when you go to the gas station after a competition and your horse is in the trailer, don't put gasoline in it and then drive down the freeway with your horse in the back of the trailer, because you will inevitably break down, and then you will have to unload your horse on the side of the highway and have another friend bring their trailer, and then when they bring their trailer and they park in front of you, your horse is not going to want to go in said trailer because they're on the side of the road, and it's going to become a total nightmare. Again, not that that's ever happened to me, but I'm just saying.
All right,
and I
we're
would
going
like
to continue
to
our
my friend Teresa and Alex from picking me up on the side of the road. Thank you, guys.
Well, we're going to talk a little more about trucks here, but Jennifer is going to tell us what's coming up on today's show first.
On today's show, we get our regular visit from Dr. Carrie DeLue with some of her wonderful stories from the road as a veterinarian. I think we're going to get some really fun wintertime and holiday kinds of stories. All that stuff that James Herriot wrote really happens, and Dr. DeLue always fills us in on the goodies. And then we're going to get an update from Jane Savoy. She's going to be telling us about what she's up to most recently. And a little blast from the past, we're going to get an update from Susan Trebesse, who was one of our spotlight writers on the 2010 radio show leading up to and during the World Equestrian Games. She just because the games were over doesn't mean Susan stopped doing her thing. She's always up to something fun and interesting. And, of course, we're going to have the usual dosage of weird, wild, wacky, crazy, and really unfit to print news story headlines.
Well said.
People can call us.
People
can call us with their truck, with which truck they prefer, or their truck stories. Maybe you were one of those those women out there in the dealership and they wanted to sell you a minivan, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. Karen posted on Facebook that she's Ford people, and they have all black vehicles too. One Ford F-250, one Ford F-150 Custom, one Explorer. They definitely are a Ford family. Although my summer car is a Chrysler Sebring convertible. Where the heck did that come from? But it's also black. So why I don't have a black horse instead of a gray? Don't know, except I prefer the gray. So that's Karen posting there. And Holly said there's Toyotas to consider as well. You know, Toyota trucks are getting beefier now. They really are becoming more truck-like and better for horse people. So I think Toyotas are coming on there.
I'm not going to put down a Toyota. You know, they're great. They're great cars, so they might as well make great trucks. I've just been waiting for them to make some bigger ones that we could actually use as horse people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Jennifer had a little tiny Toyota truck there for a while when we lived in Massachusetts, and it was easy to park, but you really couldn't haul anything with it.
Right.
Two bales of hay, and you max that sucker out. It was pretty small. Pretty small. Well, I had another story here I wanted to bring up. You know how we've been doing the stories. I'm looking for it here on the bottom of the page. I wanted to mention that horsetalk.co.nz, our friend Robin down there, who has the number one news site for all the horse world in the southern hemisphere, way down under in New Zealand and Australia. She does that website's terrific if you haven't been to it, to keep a handle on what's going on down there. And she actually posted the hottest horseman of the year awards on there. I loved her first sentence. She said, hot horsey blokes can put up their best foot forward for the first annual hottest horseman awards being run by the Horse Radio Network in the United States. So thank
it.
You to Robin for posting that. We really appreciate it. That was nice of her to post. And your entries are still coming in, I see.
A daily. It's actually getting to be an impressive amount. But if I can throw a little plea out here, and I'm a little bit surprised because, again, we're currently taking your nominations for the Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards. And it's kind of a big deal. And we have several categories. But, you know, shockingly, there's one category that nobody has been nominated for. I stuck in somebody just so we'd have one, but we've got most eligible bachelor. We've only got a couple single guys. I've got a lot of best in breeches that I just don't know if they're single or not, and I kind of feel weird like emailing them and asking them. are you single? Hey, how you doing? We've got most eligible bachelor. We've got nominations for the best horse husband, but we need more of those. We've got a nomination for the hottest farrier, a couple of those. A couple nominations for the hottest veterinarian. But you know what? Hottest horse dads, nobody has nominated their horse dad. So I know it's kind of weird for like daughters to nominate their dads. So what we want is the wife or the baby mama to nominate a hot horse dad. What horse dad
I know one
taking care of their kids? What? Who?
I know one that was nominated was Kyle Carter.
Yes.
One of our callers one day nominated Kyle Carter as best horse dad.
Oh, okay.
So,
that's who I plugged in there just so we could have one because
somebody did
Kyle
mention
Cott.
Him. Yep, one day when they called in.
Okay,
you
cool.
actually
so
knew Kyle, too, from your eventing days, didn't you?
Yes, I drilled. I mean, I'm sorry. I rode with Kyle when I was 19, and I swear it was just to learn about the sport. Now, granted, Kyle is married now and is happily married to a beautiful woman and has a beautiful kid and another one, I think, on the way. So good for them. But he was single when I was 19, and I was way too young for him, but I couldn't help but stand, on the side of the rail while he taught and drool over him, me and about 20 of my closest friends. And if you tell him that, I will kill you. We have several nominations for the best in breeches category, so we're pretty good
hold,
there.
Hold
but
on,
again, I've got
hold, it. Hold on, hold on, dear Kyle.
No,
I'm just typing an email now.
My last name has changed. He won't know who I am. There we go. I got married. Don't tell him who I am. But yeah, we have tons of nominations for Best in Breeches, and just keep them photos coming, ladies. But throw in some more for Most Eligible Bachelor. We did have one mother nominate her single son, which I thought was awesome, and she sent some pictures of them. Horse Husband, Hottest Farrier, Hottest Vet, Horse Dad, you know, Best Couple, we have several nominations for. Of course, Best Couple being Horse and Rider. We have Aaron Ralston and Bud, the reigning couple. Raphael Valley, and Ivory Powell, who actually has been a guest on our show. And then, of course, Peter Atkins and H.J. Hampton, Run Henny Run, they were nominated as well. So we've got some good ones, but keep them coming.
Okay, cool.
And we actually have our first guest on the phone, Glenn. I'm very excited to talk to her. If you remember, about a month ago, Dr. Carrie DeLue called us and let us know just kind of a little bit about being a veterinarian, but also being a veterinarian, she's an equine holistic veterinarian with a practice in California and sees some really interesting stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about winterizing your horse, and she's going to give us some good stories. Dr. DeLue, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys out in Kentucky?
We're good. So it's really early there, isn't it, Dr. DeLue?
Oh, yeah. It's still dark. I can't tell you what the California weather's like yet, but.
How's it been? Where in California are you?
It's been great. I'm near San Francisco, so no snow down here. No crazy winter freezes or anything. Just, you know, some sunny days, some slightly cloudy days, but. It's much easier to work here than I work here in Washington.
I would imagine. I'm in Arizona, and it was a high of 83 yesterday. So
wow.
I am with you, sister. This West Coast.
That's not even winter.
Yeah, our summer is our winter, though. So, you know, we pay for it with 117-degree temperatures. But right now I can go, na 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 na, and so can you.
Yes.
So you've been out on the road, you're constantly working, and, you know, we just wanted to find out a little bit. First of all, do you have any sort of advice for those people that are in the snow? Being a veterinarian, you've got to have some good recommendations for people and kind of winterizing your horse.
I mean, the biggest thing I feel like with emergencies is you just cannot let that water freeze. You know, everyone's like, oh, it's hot. The horses are going to colic. And I'm like, no, it's cold. The horses aren't going to drink. The horses are going to colic. I mean, it's totally counterintuitive that the cold weather is when you see the most colics, which is great for us vets when it's snowing and we have to try and get there. So keep your water warm. Don't let it freeze.
And do you recommend, like, on those really cold nights, supplementing with some electrolytes or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, the warm bran mashes are great, and adding some salt to them, you know, when you kind of have that feeling, oh, I need to bundle my horse up before I go to bed, add a mash to the bundling schedule, you know, blanket and then sloppy mash with electrolytes is a nice way to kind of go to bed with some peace of mind that they got hydrated.
Yeah. So because you guys always have the best stories, and as a vet technician, we came across some crazy, crazy stuff. So what do you think is the weirdest thing you've come across relating to winter horse care?
Well, probably one of the weird horse care or horse appointments. I'll do an appointment, which is sort of your classic, like, nightmare vet story, which is that, you know, thoroughbred racehorses want to be born as close to the first of the year as possible. So that's usually the time when we're driving through the middle of the night to, you know, go see the foal. And then, you know, a lot of times the mare's down and you're reaching in there. And, you know, I can't even tell you how many times I was like, are you kidding me? I'm going to lay in the snow right now. I'm going to lay down in the snow to try and get this horse out, you know. It's not one of those things you prepare for. I mean, most of the time they're in a stall, but it usually happens that, like, you know, maybe they have a stall with a run, maybe they're down in the snow outside the stall, or the owners tried to walk them because they're uncomfortable and they lay in the snow. And it's like, this situation could have played out so many better ways, but nope, I'm going to lay in the snow.
I'm going to lay in the snow, and then you're going to get all wet with fluid and stand outside in the cold. Wow, awesome.
some friends of ours, speaking to that foaling in the snow thing, one of their mares foaled outdoors in the snow, and they didn't realize it. They didn't find the mare in foal till dawn, and the foal was pretty much gone by that time. She still had a pulse, but that was about it. They picked up the foal, took her in the house, and submerged her in the hot tub. And
like,
she came out of it.
That is a lucky foal that they found her.
They're very lucky because, you know, she was just smack out in the middle of the field somewhere. It was a maiden mare, and she just, like, laid down. Because she always lived out, and I just thought it was hilarious that, because these weren't real, the kind of folks you would typically associate with bringing a horse in their house. They were a very proper home where the horses lived in the barn, the people lived in the house, the dog got his feet washed off before he came in, that kind of thing. But they put the foal in the hot tub and got him back again, and he spent the next 2 weeks in their house.
Oh my God.
It was the only foal that mare had. They didn't breed her again.
Probably a good idea.
Well, now, Dr. DeLue, you've been on call now for holidays. Do you ever get a Christmas day where you don't go out?
Oh, I don't think I can remember one. I mean, you kind of expect it. You know, you're on call and you expect it. It's usually slightly less busy than usual. But the nice thing is when you do go out, I mean, those are going to be the most appreciative clients you ever see. You know, they're just like, thank you so much. Come in, have a Christmas feast. You know?
Aww.
So as much as you hate it, you kind of already surrendered your day to being on call. And so those appointments end up being, you know, you really bond with your clients because you have nothing else to do because you didn't make plans because you were on call. And so you end up getting invited into their homes and, you know, really feel like you did something great to be there then.
Now, at the
opposite end, let's face it, they would rather not be out with a sick horse either. So.
Yeah.
right. But then once you give them that peace of mind, they're just so happy. It's, mm-hmm. you know, complete relief and like, come celebrate. The horse is fine now. So
one
big laceration.
When you get there and you roll your eyeballs and go, you really needed to call me on Christmas Day for this?
Yeah, I can't remember any of those, luckily. They're usually
you
pretty
block those
easy.
Out.
Yeah, I'm like, please tell me there weren't too many of those. Or, you know, the ones where it's like, oh, it's been going on for a few days, but I couldn't let it go another day.
Oh, gosh.
Please don't do it now.
Can you fix my horse? It's only been colicking 4 days, and it's currently 2 a.m. on Christmas Eve. If you could just hang out with us all night and save my horse, that'd be great. Oh, people, come on.
Now, do you have
yeah.
less of it? Because you're more of a chiropractor and an acupuncturist now. Do you have less of that where you get called out on those wacky things?
I have none of it now. I put in my time. And now I'm not emergency service. There's plenty of big hospitals around. So I always answer my phone and sort of say, yes, you need an emergency vet, and no, you don't. But I don't have to do it anymore. Thank goodness.
So there's no
nobody calls you for an adjustment on Christmas
yeah.
Day?
No. They're all well-trained now.
Every vet listening to this is now going, I got to switch to chiropractic.
I know. They're all like, we hate you. We're so jealous. No, but I worked I was on call every day for 8 years. I've done it.
Now, we just talked to the new incoming president for the AAEP. Did you go to Baltimore for that meeting?
You know, I didn't. I actually went to China to study veterinary acupuncture this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's probably better than Baltimore.
Yeah.
I thought so. You always try and go, well, which course should I go to? And this is going to be a really big one in the veterinary acupuncture world, so... That's what I chose.
So how was it?
Oh, it was fabulous. I mean, it's so neat because they can, in other countries, they do a little bit more research about acupuncture, whereas we don't fund it as much here. So there were a lot of really good case studies with, you know, before and after and extra results and a whole bunch of cases in the studies that, you know, sort of prove its success or its lack of success. But, you know, you always want to be able to, like, show that something works and have proof to back it up. So that was a really important part of the course.
And you just kind of fit right in with the culture there, or was it a little bit of a culture shock?
Well, I'm about 5'8" and tall and blonde with hair down to my waist. So, well, I would say that I stood out like a sore thumb, and I don't speak any Chinese. But luckily there is a group of us that were clearly, very clearly foreigners, and they treated us wonderfully. But there was not really much fitting in that could be done, no matter how hard we tried.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. But, yeah, 5'8", you were at least a foot taller than most of the people there. So.
Now, is this the end of Frisbee season, or are you still in Frisbee season?
No, we just finished. Yeah, we just finished Frisbee season. But now so it's beach Frisbee season. So, you know, there's Frisbee season for everything. But
we hate you, Dr. DeLue, don't you? It's 3 degrees here, Dr. Lou, and you're talking about beach frisbee.
It's true. You can still do it here. There were, you know, the games this weekend. But beach is a little more laid back. Glenn knows that it's a real sport, the one that I play and travel around doing.
Yes, it is, actually.
That's crazy. Well, Dr. DeLue, we really appreciate you being a part of it, our show this morning, Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And you're welcome to call back anytime. And, you know, just keep us up to date on the things that we can do as horse owners to make your job a little bit easier.
Oh, well, yay. I love that topic. Thank you. It's great being here.
All right. Merry Christmas,
Merry
Dr. DeLue.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, our sponsor this half hour is Pfizer, and help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis for tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and the other Innovator family vaccines.
You do that so well. I tried to trip you up by giving you that commercial this time because I normally get that commercial, but no, you just rip through it like it's no problem at all. Make me look like an amateur. I see what you're all about. Well, we're going to take a break for the news here a little early today, and then coming up will be Jane Savoy. We expect her to be calling in. Also, Samantha's interview with Susan Trebess, our Spotlight Para-Equestrian from the 2010 radio show. So we'll be back right after Chris and the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The Swiss show jumping team of Steve Guadat, Christina Liebherr, Niklaus Schuttenberger, and Pierre Schwitzer were presented with the 2008 Olympic bronze medal at the International Geneva Horse Show last weekend. Norway, the original winners of team bronze in Hong Kong, were stripped of the medal as a result of the legal procedure which followed team member Tony Andre Hansen's disqualification when his horse Camiro tested positive for the prohibited substance capsicum. The procedure began on August 21, 2008, and was completed on July 30, 2010. Consequently, the 2008 Olympic show jumping team results have been amended as follows. Gold medal goes to the USA, Canada is the silver medalist, and Switzerland bronze medalist. Kevin Stout and Silvana De Hoos won the sixth leg of the Rolex FEI World Cup jumping series, held at the 50th running of the Geneva Horse Show in Switzerland this past weekend. The 30-year-old Frenchman, who continues to hold the number one spot in the Rolex World Rankings, and who was already leading the Western European League series going into the competition, went last in the 8-horse jump-off from 40 starters. He overtook Olympic champion Eric Lamaze from Canada aboard Hicksted, who was holding the top spot, while Sweden's Rolf Goran Bentsson and Quintero Lassila finished third ahead of Germany's Meredith Michaels-Bierbaum and the 17-year-old Shutterfly in fourth. The youngest rider in the class was 18-year-old Martin Fuchs from Switzerland. while the oldest rider was 68-year-old Austria's Hugo Simon, the man who won the very first FEI World Cup jumping title in 1979. The series heads to Olympia in London this coming weekend for the next round. The Extreme Mustang Makeover TV series, in which horse trainers have 100 days to tame a wild Mustang, is underway in Tennessee. Trainers earn prize money if they win and also earn a commission. The horses are up for adoption in a public auction after the competition. From the winning bid, 20% goes to the trainer, a basic adoption fee of $125 goes to the Bureau, and the rest goes to the foundation to finance its operations. The highest price paid for a Mustang was $10,000 in Madison, Wisconsin. Since the first event in 2007 in Texas, 21 Extreme Mustang Makeovers have been held and more than 800 trainers have taken part in the makeover or the trainer incentive program, an arrangement in which trainers who do not wish to compete in makeovers are paid $700 if they can gentle a Mustang in 90 days and find a qualified adopter. Because of the wild, free-roaming Horse and Bureau Act of 1971, horses cannot be culled. Instead, they are rounded up by the Bureau of Land Management, which manages herds in 10 western states to prevent overpopulation with the intention of them being adopted out. In 2007, the Bureau teamed with the non-profit Mustang Heritage Foundation to increase adoption of the Mustangs. And that's all the news this morning on Horses in the Morning. I'm Chris Stafford.
I am just a puppy and I'm scared to death. I am just a puppy and you light my breath. What I really need is you to love me, 'cause I'm just a puppy.
A pony, I want.
that was called Just a Puppy by Marianne Kennedy. You can find all of her music at MarianneKennedy.com, and we certainly appreciate her allowing us to play for her music. I thought of that, Jamie, just because, you know, this is the season when people get and receive puppies and kittens and all that kind of stuff for Christmas. So, and ponies, you know, and we all have stories about puppies and kittens and ponies that we've gotten for Christmas. So we'll have to make that a topic someday, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would be accepting any of those things for Christmas.
And a guinea pig. And a guinea
pig. And a guinea pig. I'm not picky. Give me a new chicken. I don't care.
Well, we have somebody on the line. She is a dressage legend. She is a friend of the Horse Radio Network and a friend of mine. And I'm certainly thrilled that she was able to call in this morning and chat with us for a little bit. I haven't talked to her, actually, since the World Equestrian Games, and that's Jane Savoy. Hi, Jane, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Good. I'd like you to meet Jamie, my co-host.
Hello, Jamie. I'll send you a puppy right away.
That would be fantastic. And you must be on the East Coast, right? Because our last guest was on the West Coast, and I think we woke her up. So are you here?
Yes, I'm on the East Coast in sunny Florida, where it was in West Palm Beach, where it was like, I think, 27 degrees this morning. They said we broke a record.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
People are falling out down there, aren't they?
Yeah.
They must be. You know, West Palm, that's really cold for West Palm, actually.
It's
some fun stuff going on down there right now, actually, in West Palm. They have some holiday things that they do with the horses, and it's probably a really neat time down there.
It's always neat down here. It's like wall-to-wall horse community. You can't walk into a restaurant, the grocery store, the gym, a drugstore without running into somebody in the horse industry. And what's fun about it is, unlike at the horse shows, where if you go to a dressage show, you see just the dressage riders, or you go to a hunter-jumper show, you just see the hunter-jumpers, we get to mix and match and play with everybody in all the different disciplines, number one, and do it in an atmosphere that isn't a tense, competitive atmosphere. Like at a horse show, everybody's relaxed, so we really get to know each other, and it's so much fun.
Well, and you, last time I saw you, I think, was at the World Equestrian Games, but you've been up to Equine Affair in Massachusetts since then. I was hoping to chat with you a little bit, because I think Jennifer and Jamie will find it fascinating, about that cool saddle and everything that you were showing off. Mm. Tell people about that.
Well, we have the most exciting thing. It's called, our company is EQ Equisense, and we have a censored saddle and reins. And we created we call it enhanced tack. We created the tack to fill a need. I shouldn't give this away, but I've been teaching for over 40 years, so you do the math. I mean, I started, I guess, when I was one or something. But
Jane, we all know you're 29. It's okay. We all know.
In my heart, I am. But so we created it because after teaching for all those years, I know that one of the most difficult things for riders to learn and instructors to teach is feel. It's such a vague thing, teaching and understanding feel. And it's frustrating for students, and it's frustrating for instructors. And at one point I said to one of my partners, if I could just get inside my students' bodies and feel what they're feeling, I could be a whole lot more effective and helpful to them. And he's like, well, I can do that. So we create, well, I didn't, I'm a technophobe, as you know, but he created this tack that is so sensitive as far as feeling your balance, if you're centered, as far as your seat bones, your legs, your reins, whatever. And as you start movements and transitions, we can tell if you're sitting in the wrong position. And what we do, because position problems are usually so chronic and so ingrained, is that we create a new muscle memory as far as making corrections, and then give you a buzzword so we can trigger those corrections. And so you can overcome these chronic position issues. And what's so cool about it is the equipment really gives your instructor what I call X-ray vision. Because take, for example, at Equine Affair, Liz Austin, who did, she did a, with her she was long-listed for WEG with her horse Olivier, and she did three evening performances for Fantasia with Olivier. And the last day before her performance, she came and she sat on the equisizer on the in the enhanced tack. And, you know, Liz is an awesome rider. And you look at her, and she looks absolutely balanced, beautiful, centered. But the equipment is so sensitive that when I looked at the readout, I said, you know, you have to bring your right hip forward. Your left hip is forward and your right hip is back, and so you're not sitting absolutely centered. And I'm not sure I can say this on the radio, but I'm going to. She said, well, do you think that's why my right canter pirouettes suck? And I'm like, you can delete that if I'm not allowed to say that. But
you can say that.
Although I know it's a live show, so too late. But anyhow, I said, well, I don't know why your right canter pirouettes suck, but, you know, it certainly would be helpful for you to be sitting in the right way. So she went and she did her final Fantasia presentation. She had all three nights videotaped. And she emailed me the next day. She says, you're not going to believe it. I came into my right canter pirouette. I thought about the position correction that we made, right hip forward, and I did absolutely the best right canter pirouette I've ever done. So,
wow.
Yeah. So not only is this great for people that are just starting out and for amateurs, because we all know with any skill in any sport, it's a lot easier to learn the skill correctly to begin with than to have to retrain yourself and get rid of old ingrained habits. But here's someone who's at a world-class level. The subtle nuances that we can pick up in position and balances allowed her to just raise the bar that much higher.
Well, I have a question then about it. So she's when you have this saddle and this sensitive tack, do you try it on a horse? Do you put it on the horse, or do you sit on it just kind of in the trade fair area? How does it work?
Well, we go through various tiers. We use an equisizer. An equisizer was developed by Frankie Lovato for therapy, for helping people rehab after injuries. So it moves, but we get on the equisizer, we get sort of a baseline reading where we can analyze and diagnose position issues. It's sort of like being lunged, where you don't have to worry about steering the horse and making it go and blah, blah, blah. So we get our baseline reading. And then from there, when you have your buzzwords and your muscle memory and all of this other stuff, the tack is made to be used on your own horse. And you can either have, as Glenn saw, the computer readout at WEG, you can either have something like that mounted in your arena, or your instructor can have an iPad that has the exact same reading showing your balance of your seat and your legs and your reins. And let's say you're doing a half pass to the right and you're struggling because your horse doesn't want to move to the right, and it's so subtle your instructor really can't see. Well, they can look at the iPad and notice that, oh, you have your weight on your left seat bone. You're giving conflicting aids. Your leg is saying to the horse, your leg and your outside rein is saying go to the right, but because you're sitting against the way, the movement against the way you want the horse to go, you're giving conflicting signals and you're making it difficult for the horse. But sometimes it's so subtle, especially with someone like a Liz Austin, who's so balanced looking to the naked eye, that your instructor can look at the iPad and say, oh, well, you're sitting on the left seat bone. You need to put your weight on the right seat bone, step down into the right iron so you take your horse in the direction of movement.
Oh, my gosh, Jane. So because that is the hardest thing as a coach, is to tell what seat bone people are putting their weight
exactly
on. And yet you have to use that right seat bone to get them to step to the right. It's controlling
right
that inside hind leg. So you've got this whole thing. Could you imagine in your 40, because you said it, 40 years of dressage training, that you would have a technique like this and you'd be training with a sensor dressage saddle connected to an iPad?
No, I absolutely. But, you know, like everything else, I think that is created, that, you know, when you have a vision of something, it is born out of need. And here's the need. Like I said earlier, it's frustrating for students. It's frustrating for instructors. And it was just that one sentence that I said to one of my partners, which was, if I could just get inside my students' bodies and feel what they're feeling. Now, he comes from a medical and an aeronautic background, and he actually,
wow,
if you really want me to blow your mind, he created, among other things, a heart attack simulator. And so the technology was already in place. For example, you go into the doctor and you're not particularly articulate, and you say, well, you know, I've felt exhausted for 3 weeks, or I have chest pain, and the doctor's trying to find out, well, is it dull? Is it sharp? Is it intermittent? Is it constant? And you can't really describe your pain or your fatigue. So you put on this vest. The doctor puts on a vest. The doctor can feel the exact same sense of fatigue and chest pain and all the other symptoms that you're feeling, and makes the diagnosis that much more accurate. So
wow,
the technology for what we're doing with the sensor tech has already been in place through what he's done in the medical field and the aeronautic field. So that's why we were able to do what we did as quickly as we did it.
Yeah,
well,
so
now,
we are talking.
This,
go ahead.
I was
going to
say,
we're talking
to Steve something?
Boy. Wait. Say again.
Go ahead.
I missed what you said.
I was just going to say that is this something that you can buy now? Do you have it for sale, or is it for rent? How does it work?
We don't have it for sale right now. It will be for sale eventually. But what we are doing is we're developing 12 what we call EQ training centers, 9 in the United States and 3 internationally, where people can come and they can train first, like I said, statically on the equisizer, and then bringing the tack to the arena with real horses. So we're starting with our training centers, and then eventually we will have a package for the individual user.
Wow. We're talking with Jane Savoy on Horses in the Morning, a dressage, expert. I mean, it's absolutely an honor to talk to you, but I have to ask, first question is, are you riding anymore?
Yes,
or
in
you
fact,
just coaching?
My horse is waiting for me while I'm doing this interview. Yes, of course I'm riding.
All right, great. So, be honest here, and I have an expectation of what this answer is going to be.
Uh-oh.
But what would the saddle, if you tried it on, what does it say about you?
Well, I know what it would say about me because it's something that I work on every day. But it would say that I sit off to the right, and I need to bring my right seat bone it would feel like I'm bringing my right seat bone closer to the midline of the saddle, but that's what would allow me to be centered. And a lot of times what happens, and we always start from the seat, because what happens with a lot of riders is they go, oh, my right shoulder is up, or I'm lifting my left knee is too high, and they try to correct their extremities, and they end up looking like a pretzel, where more often than not, by simply correcting your seat and getting your seat centered and balanced, a lot of those things fall into place. So if you were to look at some pictures of me riding, which sometimes I like to avoid, but I make myself look at them, it would look like my right iron is longer, my right stirrup is longer than my left stirrup. But in fact, it's because I'm sitting off to the right. And so by bringing my right seat bone closer to the midline of the saddle, that gets my legs hanging long and even. So we always start from the seat like that. And I think it's normal. You know, we're all asymmetrical. You know, we're all crooked. And so everybody, I'm not in the least bit embarrassed to say that I'm crooked. I don't know anyone who isn't crooked. So we need to know how to make those modifications to sit more centered and square, because the more correctly you sit, obviously the more effective your aids are. And I do want to say, Glenn, when you asked me this question about, what we were doing and blah, 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 in addition to setting up the training centers, we are now in the process of talking to other Olympians, top trainers in other disciplines, because it's very easy for us to modify this tack so that it can be used for hunter jumpers, used for endurance riders, used for reiners, because centered and balanced is centered and balanced regardless of what discipline you're in.
That, first of all, let me just comment on the fact that I expected your answer to be nothing. There is
oh,
nothing
you're
wrong. So I'm for, because you know you've been doing it forever and you're about perfect from my eye. So what I expected was one thing, and I appreciate your honesty. I mean, gosh, that's really, really cool that you can go out there and you can say what's wrong with your riding. You can say everybody's crooked because it makes it feel like those of us who are trying to get the half pass perfect and can and feel crooked that, you know, it happens to everybody.
Absolutely.
Even your you know, dressage idols are crooked sometimes too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and
that's an important point, I think, Jamie, because, and not only with the if they're crooked, I guess I'm not so hopeless that I'm crooked.
Right.
This is a little off topic, but it's the same thing where a lot of times amateurs think, what's wrong with me that I'm so nervous when I show? Well, don't you know that all the professionals are nervous too? It's just that they've done it longer and they've learned coping mechanisms to deal with their show nerves and function in spite of them. We're all the same. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing this sport.
Wow.
Wow.
That's good to know.
Well, Jane, I know that you had a limited time here with us today because your pony's waiting for you. I appreciate you calling in and chatting about this. Tell everybody where they can find out more about this and your other things that you have going on.
Okay. For the EQ Equisense, we have a social site called EQ Trained. And that's an ED at the end, EQTRAINED.com. And it's a very active site, and there's all kinds of articles and training tips and everything on that. And we have contests and all kinds of cool stuff. And we have virtual games and things that people can play on that. And then my regular website is Jane Savoie, and you spell my name the French way, SAVOIE.com. And I've just released the extended content for my guide to training a happy horse called Happy Horse Solutions, where I have, Jamie, you'll appreciate this, very normal horses. I have Haflingers and Appaloosas and draft horses, all, you know, the kind of horses that we all ride, and normal problems that come up in the normal course of training, and a toolbox filled with possible solutions to help you with any of the training issues that come up.
So where do we find that again?
That's on my janesavoie.com site. And if it will be up because, like I told you, I'm not very technologically inclined, so I can't do it. But it will be up. My webmaster is putting it up either later this afternoon or tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, don't let her kid you. Don't let her kid you. Jane is new media savvy. Jane knows what she's doing. She says that all the time, but she's
but
one of the leaders.
But I email Glenn. That's it. I know how to email.
Well, Jane,
you
gotta
pay
I want to ask you a favor. Will you come back maybe in the beginning of January sometime and come on the show with us and spend a little bit longer with us and take calls from listeners?
I would love to do that. Thank you.
All right, let's do that. We'll have Jennifer set that up with you for maybe the beginning of after the holidays, and we'll get you back, and we'll do a press release, and we'll take calls, and I think that would be fun.
Awesome.
Christmas. I'm shopping for apps right now, Jane, on EQ iPhone apps.
We have iPhone apps. I forgot to say that. we have so much stuff besides the sensor tech. We have. Of course, Apple has to approve all the iPhone apps, so we have like 10 of them that are in the process of being approved right now. But I have one on flying changes that's out there, one on how to pick up the correct canter lead, one on how to supple your horse at the pole. So those iPhone apps are all out there now, and we have a whole slew that are in the process of being approved.
Awesome. I'm in it. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy your ride.
Thank you. I will. You guys take care.
Merry Christmas.
Right.
That's Jane Savoie with us today. It was so nice of her to give us a call and chat with us about everything she has going on. That woman is not ever bored.
No. I'm amazed. There's so much stuff online here for a woman who's not savvy as far as, you know, new media goes, she's got iPhone apps teaching you how to do flying lead changes, okay?
I know.
Impressive.
She has a whole, you know, and she is so nice. She comes on the shows with us whenever we ask her to, and she, you know, she's always a terrific guest. So we do appreciate her joining us and being a friend here of the Horse Radio Network. Jennifer just sent me something, and I'm looking it up now.
Uh-oh.
What did you just send me? Oh. All she said, Jamie, is you won't need training wheels with this one. Glenn's Xmas Pony. Is this what you're getting me for Christmas? We were talking about Christmas ponies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Let me take a look here and see. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. All right. I'm watching the video here of the Giddy Up Pony. I think I can handle this one, actually.
What is it?
I was actually looking at the S'mores Pony, which is the most recent version of that animatronic pony kids can get. And I was looking around on that, and I came up with this little guy, which is an older model, but I think he would be absolutely perfect for you, Glenn.
Yes, I do too. He's about 3 foot tall, and apparently you can ride him. He has little wheels on his feet, and he's a big stuffed horse that you can ride. Comes with sound effects, and apparently he also comes with some special music.
Glenn, we can put Jane's saddle on you, on the horse, and get you on there and find out what's wrong with your riding.
You can make
well,
sure
I have to
safe.
Post a link to this video. This video is so funny, seeing these little kids just galloping along in this thing. And you can actually make it move, which is the fun part. I got a challenge for everybody out there. What was that music used for? What show, TV show, was that music used for? And what's the official name of it? And the first one to post that on Facebook will get a World Equestrian Games T-shirt. So I will let you hear. I'll let you hear a little bit more of it. Oh, and the tail swishes as you ride too. That's cool.
Absolutely. That's because you're sitting crooked. You're making him swish his tail. Get off your right seat, Bob.
I'm glad to see that all the little kids in this video are wearing helmets, even though
isn't
they're bike
hilarious?
Helmets. That's
Glenn,
pretty good.
Let
that was pretty
go
good.
Down, outside leg back. Come on. Create the bend with your body.
All right, I'll post that in the show notes today, and maybe put a link to it on our Facebook page as well. So, but first one to come out with what the name of that was and what show it was on, that will be great. We'll give you send you out a World Equestrian Games T-shirt. So that was funny.
That's great. Oh boy, so. What was I going to say? I you got me so tickled by the little pony.
You completely lost your train of thought.
What's the next headline?
What's the next headline we have?
I'm taking a guess here. We're going to take a chance, but I think we might have my old co-host, Samantha, on the line. Are you there, Samantha?
Glenny Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I'm so glad you could call this morning. I know you're out at the elementary. Is it the elementary school?
Yes. Well, I'm in the car park now.
You're doing mommy duties this morning, aren't you?
Yes. Anything to stay in time.
Hey, I wanted to have you on for a couple minutes just to chat about something you're doing for us here at Horses in the Morning.
Yes.
Tell everybody what you're doing with bringing our Spotlight Riders back and just giving us a wrap-up with them.
Well, that's pretty much what we're going to do. We're going to try and get one a week and just catch up with them, find out what they're doing. The exciting thing is that a lot of them are going to be heading for London in 2012, and they've got exciting plans. And so we'll just keep in touch with them. Because there are eight of them, we might not speak to all eight, but we should be able to keep in touch with one of them every 6 weeks or so. So we'll try and get you updates. And they became such good friends, and they're all such wonderful people. It'll be a treat for me, and I think your listeners will, you know, fall in love with them just like we did, Glenn.
And we have the first one today coming up in a few minutes with our para rider.
Susan Trebus, our para-equestrian rider from California, lucky Susan, and we'll catch up with her and see what she's up to.
She was one of the most fun, and of course she came in and helped us with our para webathon, the fundraiser that we did with Alltech for the para athletes. She was just anything we asked her to do, she would do. She was such a trooper.
She really was. She was terrific. In fact, everyone was, but she was brilliant. I mean, we became such close friends with everyone. And now, are we going to have a reunion, Glenn, for the Wegg Legacy event in October at the Fort
Park?
Well,
we might have to bring them all in and have a reunion. That sounds like a terrific idea. We should have something fun where they all compete against each other.
That doesn't sound fun. We should just have a party.
Well, I wanted to ask you real quick, too, and I know Jamie has something she wants to ask you as well. But before we let you go, you're doing something that very few people know about here in the United States, but you're heading home to England for the holidays.
Yes.
And you're going to a special horse show that's very
get out of here.
It's very popular over there, but we know nothing about it. Tell us about it.
Oh, I'm going to Olympia, which is amazing. It's in the equivalent of Rough Arena, or a huge convention center in the middle of London. And they have World Cup dressage, they have World Cup show jumping, world class show jumping. They have Shetland Pony Grand National, they have dog agility, they have the top class riders do fancy dress show jumping. I mean, it's so much fun. They have, each year they pick a different, this year they've got Warhorse, the theatre production of Warhorse is going to do a little production at the end. They have Christmas carols. It's definitely a sort of gala spectacle. Chris, you know it's Christmas. They have shopping, they have amazing trade stands, they have food. Get dressed up. I mean, as a girl, I used to go every year, and it was one of my favorite things ever. And now I get to go back and bring the kids with me, and I couldn't be more excited. It's ridiculous.
Just like a Christmas tradition for you guys.
Definitely. I mean, even if you went in the middle of summer, it'd be fun, but just because it's Christmas, it's even more special.
That's great. Well, I do have to talk to you because, Samantha, we haven't talked since our huge brainchild that came out, the 2010 Hottest Horseman Awards. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, I tried to email you, and I think in my excitement, I was shooting off things and I couldn't even type properly.
So we need some more nominations, okay? So I'm going to have to ask you to do some pretty heavy research, Samantha, okay? I know. See, but you know whether these guys are single or not. So we need some more eligible bachelors. We need some horse husbands, farriers, vets, horse dads, and, you know, best in breeches. I think you'd be pretty good at giving us some nominations. So we're going to need you to get down to the grind, really get in there and start doing some research and find out who, just who the hottest horsemen in the world are.
Funnily enough, and I said, as I talked to Glenn last week, and I said, Glenn, it makes me look terribly unprofessional, Glenn, but just go back on our Facebook page and look at every single man that I interviewed for the
day. Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Your job does not suck, my friend. It does not suck.
Well, it's important that you enjoy your work.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure that your boss, Glenn, probably had to tell you, listen, Samantha, you've got to interview some women, okay? You've got to get some of the women riders on here every once in a while.
Oh, yes, I enjoyed that too. And, nothing wrong with that.
All right, good.
Thank
well,
you, Samantha. We appreciate it.
Get some nominations.
If you're stuck here in Kentucky this weekend, wait, so there's a strong chance, I'm getting a bit worried, we might not get out of here this weekend. But it's Elvis impersonation weekend at the Southern Lights. So if you're here and you're going to that, that would be great fun.
They have a bunch of Elvis impersonators at Southern Lights this weekend?
Yes.
There's a juxtaposition there. I'm not sure what it is, but it doesn't sound right, you know, in so many ways. Thank you, Samantha. Yeah, I'm going to let you go back in where it's a lot warmer now.
Okay, have fun. Bye.
All right, have a good trip.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
That was Samantha Clark, my old co-host on the 2010 radio show, and we're going to play here for you right after I make the announcement that Karen Heiser won the T-shirt. Jennifer, you might want to mark that down. She said, William Tell Overture on The Lone Ranger. And Jamie's probably way too young to even remember The Lone Ranger. But
my gosh, please. Too young?
It's on rerun somewhere.
Yeah, this is coming from the same girl who had to watch Bonanza with her dad every Saturday morning. I had the Lone Ranger lunchbox and the Lone Ranger bedsheets with Lone Ranger and Silver and Tonto. And what was his horse's name? Do you know? I do.
Scout.
Okay. Thank you. It was Scout.
With Scout.
The horse. So I've seen my share. And that actually, the William Tell Overture is my father's ringtone.
Is it?
That's great.
Yes.
Well, thank you to the few people here that posted this morning. We appreciate it, and we'll make sure we get the address and send that out. Send that out to the winner, and who was Karen Heiser. Thank you, Karen. I know she's a regular listener to the show. Well, let's listen to the interview that Samantha did with Susan Trebass. She was our para rider, as we said, for the 2010 radio show. We followed their travels of the Spotlight athletes for 2 years. We talked to them almost every month for 2 years. So we really got to know these people, and it was so much fun to finally meet them at the World Equestrian Games and to follow them through the World Equestrian Games. And we're going to catch up with all of them here, hopefully, over the next couple of months. But first, I want to mention that this half hour is brought to you by Pfizer. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to protect... Oh, that's the wrong one. Let me do this. Daily deworming makes a difference,
Glenn.
You can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongid C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongid C2X is designed for the daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. And now let's listen in to the interview with Susan Trebass.
Trebass, welcome to the Horses in the Morning show. That's a bit of a departure for us. You were our spotlight rider on the 2010 radio show. You were the para equestrian rider. You represented the United States, and you were the best U.S. freestyle rider. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
And it was a sad day, and it was a sunny day, though, when I said goodbye to you and Scott at the horse park. But I said it wasn't goodbye, and I'm very glad to be talking to you again. How was it when you got home? Was it a huge adjustment?
Well, it was, a little bit. We've been going for 3 years straight. And not just going, but I've been, working two jobs and riding horses and showing and competing and traveling all over the country and raising money and doing all the things that you have to do in order to get to the WEG, and then it just sort of stops. Not really in a way, because we're trying to get geared up for the 2012 Paralympics, but it does sort of just stop. You get home and it's quiet, and I am now working just one job. I've started my horse business, so that's an adjustment as well. So it is different, but it's now different in a good way.
Yeah, you are now a professional rider, but you've stopped working for the California state government and you're riding full-time, and it is completely full-time. We talked briefly about that. And tell me a little bit about Moneypenny. Was the horse you rode at the WEG. Will she be the horse you hope to ride at the Olympics in London in 2012?
Well, we'll definitely campaign her. She's 16 this year, and she's such a good horse, and she's still a very competitive horse. So we'll be campaigning her. I'll be riding her in able-bodied dressage at Pre-St. George and Intermediate 1 and campaigning her here in California. And then I'll also campaign her for the 2012 Paralympics. But we are looking for a second horse to campaign, because I don't want to push Moneypenny, you know, past her. I just don't want to put her in a position where she's our only horse, and then so we have to depend on her physically and emotionally. She's been a great partner for me, and so I don't want her to be ridden into the ground, as they say. So we're looking for a second horse that can we can come in and campaign simultaneously.
And I think, yeah, I think that's what people don't often realize, is the level at which paraequestrians compete at, that you will be competing at able-bodied dressage at pre-St. George level. That's pretty impressive. And your disability is that you were born without your left arm from the elbow downwards?
I have my left elbow, but just about a couple inches down from my elbow, yes.
And
I don't have a left hand.
You have some dispensation when you ride, but otherwise, you know, you're competing against able-bodied dressage riders and doing damn well, if I may say so myself.
Thank you.
So you
have to be competitive, I think, in both
in order to be successful.
I
think that's what everyone realized at WEG. You need some pretty high-powered horses, and that's what you're looking for. I think that's what you know, the whole U.S. team realized, and that's why the Brits especially did so well. They do have some nice horsepower underneath them.
Yeah, and that's I mean, it's important to have a horse that you're well matched with. I think, you know, if I were to just have like a big, you know, Pan Am Games type horse, of course, you know, you could do well on a horse like that, but really you need to be well matched. I mean, you need to be riding a horse you know how to ride and that you can be seriously competitive on. And so there is a bit of a science to trying to find a horse like that. And, you know, I'm 5'3", so I'm not very tall, so a big horse is not suitable for me. But I need, you know, a FEI standard light horse that would be competitive, you know, anywhere from third level up. The nice thing is that we can bring a horse, you know, beyond third level. I'm a capable enough rider to do that, and then I'm surrounded by, you know, a good support training system in order to do that. So, so that's sort of what we're looking for, is either a horse that is going FEI or a horse that we can bring along to go FEI and compete towards the 2012 team.
And you actually live on the premises at your barn now, and walk us through a typical day and what your day involves.
Well, we live above the barn, and love that, you know, every girl's little dream, or every little girl's dream. But, you know, I wake up fairly early in the morning, and, you know, between 6:30 in the morning and about 8 o'clock in the morning, I do basically office work bookkeeping, because, you know, now that I'm running my own business, that's important. So, and also fielding, you know, any kind of either sponsorship inquiries or media inquiries or anything like that happens during that time. And then, you know, about 8:30, we start the horses, and that just goes from 8:30 until about 7:30 at night, straight through. And then I come in the house and usually eat some dinner and do, you know, additional office work. So it's, and, you know, it's a very busy day, nonstop, and it's, I ride, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 horses a day, and usually give anywhere from 2 to 7 lessons a day. So that's my typical day right now.
Wow. And you are supported by the perfect horse show husband, your husband, Scott.
Yeah.
And you have a great website that people can check out more. What's that, Susan?
I have, we have the business website, which is just susantrebus.com, and then we have my blog, which I have been neglecting. And I'm hoping that this week I can finally get back to, I need to do a WEG wrap-up, and and then sort of, you know, the what's next. And I'm hoping I'll be able to squeeze some time in this week in order to get that done.
Good. And you're in fairly sunny California. It's a lot warmer than it is here in Kentucky. So we're jealous of you.
Yeah, 53 degrees here, Samantha, today.
It's a lot better than 16. And we're gonna keep up with you regularly, which I'm really happy about. And thank you so much for talking to us this morning. We're gonna let you get back to your duties. And,
yeah, thank you.
Give Miss Moneypenny a big hug and a kiss from me. And we miss you, Susan.
Yeah, we miss you too, Samantha.
Great to speak to you again, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, thank you.
That's Samantha catching up with Susan Treibitz from the World Equestrian Games, and that'll be going on. She'll be catching up with just about every rider you guys followed, right?
Yeah, she's going to try and get a hold of all of them, and over the next couple of months here, we'll try and do one a week and see if we can find out what happened after. You know, they developed such a following. All of our listeners, you know, we had tens of thousands of listeners, and the listeners really got to know these athletes as we follow them along. And our rule with these athletes was they could not have been to a World Equestrian Games before, and they could not have been to an Olympics before. So these were really, some of them were real long shots. And,
wow.
You know, and I think 6 out of the 8 actually made it to the World Equestrian Games, which was, you know, which was good guessing on our part, I think, and a lot of hard work on theirs. So we're looking forward to hearing from all of them, and they really did, you know, she mentioned that too. They really did become friends, you know, over that period of time, and it was so neat. Jessica, you know, Jessica Phoenix, who's been on this show before and who comes back once a month doing the mommy update, she was one of our Spotlight athletes, and she's just become a good friend of ours, and, you know, we enjoy them so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to mention on Facebook that, you know, you can always follow us on facebook.com/horsesinthemorning. And we are still accepting the nominations for the 2010 Hottest Horseman of the Year up until the 27th, I believe. And we just got a nomination. Now, she sent me an email, but Cheryl has introduced us to her son. Let me introduce Andrew, is it Figures, and his horse, A Simple Twist of Fate. Andrew's the co-manager trainer at Breckenridge Farm, a premier dressage barn in Harbor Springs, Michigan. Andrew works 6 to 7 days a week training young horses, rehabilitating seasoned horses, teaching young riders, and much more. His personal training with Twist is moving along nicely and has plans to campaign heavily next season. He is single, ladies, and he's truly a wonderful, talented man. You can see a picture of him on our Facebook page. So we have Andrew down for our Most Eligible Bachelor in the 2010 Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards.
I like his horse.
Oh, he's cute as a button. I mean, and so is the horse. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I forgot to tell you that I had a couple of texts on my phone from people that we know that are single, females in the horse world, asking if there's any contest to see who gets to date the most eligible bachelor, to see if they could go on a date with the most eligible bachelor. I said, for that, we could charge.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a horsey matchmaker website up. Horses in the morning.
I see a fundraising event.
Yeah, fundraiser. There you go. We can auction it off. I like that.
Well, if we're going to post these people on Facebook, yeah, eBay, but, you know, you can go ahead and go ahead and try to, I mean, I gave you all his information, where he works and what city he lives in, and he's single, and his photo. I mean, what an opportunity this is for guys to put themselves out there and maybe meet that special someone. Who knows? Can you imagine if we create a marriage here on Horses in the Morning? Oh, my God, that'd be the coolest thing.
Who needs equestriansingles.com when you have Horses in the Morning?
Exactly. I love it. Well, Cheryl, thanks for nominating your son, whether he knows it or not, or likes it or not.
She didn't specify, did she?
No, she certainly didn't. So the stock photo that she put up of him, I'm sure he didn't pose for that for horsesinthemorning.com, but we'll take it.
And she obviously is trying to get him married off. Now, the next thing I wanted to ask you is you're going to start posting all of the entries on our Facebook page, right?
Yes, I will be working on that today after the show. When you go to Horses in the Morning, click on notes, and it'll be up there along with, you know, pretty much everything else that we post on here. So you'll have to, you know, add to the list, people.
All right, great. Well, we're going to have to head on out of here. It's about that time of day. We thank everybody who came on with us, Dr. DeLu. We thank Jane Savoy. Thanks, Samantha, for calling in. You know, it's been another fun show. It's just a joy to be here every morning chatting about horses with you. And, you know, we had, I have one more news story that I have to mention that I do at the end of every show. And that is the, you want to guess? Another horse stuck in a ditch in England.
Oh, no.
Why this happens in England, I don't know. But this firefighters were called to Chapel Lane in Great Brumley just after 8 a.m. after the call alerted them to an animal stuck in water. Crews got out to the ditch and held the horse's head above water while waiting for more firefighters to arrive. They used straps and airbags were used to pull the horse out of the ditch by just after 10:30 a.m. So it took them a couple hours, but they got the horse out. You know, I think they must actually teach courses to the firefighters over there on how to rescue horses, because it seems like every day there's another story of the horse rescue in England.
Fence, put a fence around your ditches, cover your manholes, for crying out loud, you know, how many of these stories do we have to have over in Europe? So let's, come on, people, pasture proof, okay? Horse proof your pastures, make them safe, come on, seriously, really.
I got to say, though, that show that she talked about over in England over Christmas sounds like a lot of fun. We ought to do that next year. I think that we ought to all go and do the show from there. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I would be okay with that.
So the countdown is continuing. How many days till hubby gets back?
Let's see. Today is Tuesday. I haven't talked to him in a while. He did send me a quick email saying that he landed safely in Pakistan, and they were basically flooded by the Pakistani Air Force. I guess their, you know, Air Force is pretty excited to be getting some brand new F-16s and meet some Americans. So they've been running around Pakistan, Lord knows where, but hopefully I'll be able to talk to him soon. But he gets home on Saturday night around midnight, and you bet that I will try to stay up a little bit later and go pick him up at the airport.
Well, that's a good thing. I think he kind of expects that.
Yeah, but I'm like, I go to bed at 9, so this thing in at midnight is going to be a big challenge, but I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, I'm excited that he's coming back to see you. That'll be nice to have him home. I know that you've had some long days here with Adam, and you're looking forward to having him back for Christmas. So we want to remind everybody, I made this mistake a couple of times. I said that we would be having Templeton Thompson on for Christmas Day. It's actually Christmas Eve. Christmas Day's on a Saturday. We don't have a show on a Saturday. So we're having her on for Christmas Eve, the 24th. She will be on with us. That'll be a recorded episode. We actually recorded it yesterday. And it was just such a fun hour that we spent with Templeton playing music, talking about her life. I never knew some of the things, and I've known her for years that she talked to us about. So we're looking forward to bringing that to you on the 24th. And then on the 31st, which is also a Friday, that's New Year's Eve, we have a special episode for you that we'll talk about next week. And I think that we're going to have some special callers calling in to wish everybody a happy holidays next week as well. So stay tuned through the holidays. We have a lot of fun planned for you, and I promise I'll play a little more Christmas music.
If you miss the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. And tomorrow, I'm really excited because as a fan and collector for my entire life of Briar horses, we're going to talk to Briar representative Stephanie, and maybe she can tell me an insider deal on where I can get Zenyatta Briar for less than like $1 million. And we're also going to talk to the horse and do the horse health report as usual on Wednesdays. Anything
else
to add there, Glenn?
I think that's it. Just have a great day, everybody. Stay warm. Maybe if you can, if you live in a place where there's not 3 feet of snow, you can get a ride in today. Ride safely. Wear your helmet. Bye, Jamie. Bye, Jennifer.
Bye.
Bye.